Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
This is the Zabecast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Tuesday, July 23rd, 2024. Thank you for downloading. It looks like Kenny and Charles and Shaq and Ernie may actually survive this thing. That's right. According to reports on Monday afternoon, TNT and their parent company, Warner Brothers Discovery, WBD, has matched, per their contractual right, the offers, or one of the offers, that the NBA accepted from a new broadcast partner. I believe the partner that they matched was Amazon's offer. Now, this is not a done deal as of yet. The last that I read is that, well, that's what Warner Brothers is saying. We've matched. Ha ha, we're going to keep our package, or we're going to keep the package you carved up to give to Amazon. And it sounds like a legal fight is brewing. There is apparently precedent for leagues suing soon-to-be former broadcast partners over the language of their contract and whether or not they can take their television rights somewhere else. Because while certainly TNT, Time Warner, Discovery has done a nice job with the NBA, they don't have the reach, or they don't have the digital footprint of Amazon, both here in the States and globally. So maybe this is just a case where the NBA and Adam Silver have already moved on, and they didn't think that TNT would match, and now there will be lawyers, as Andrew Brandt would say. We shall see. I hope that TNT keeps their chunk, keeps inside the NBA on, and keeps on being that go-to place for us sports fans, us NBA fans, once the playoffs begin, in the springtime to convene before, during, and after games. But I don't think it's over just yet. In other sports news, LeBron James has been voted to be the flag bearer for the United States Olympic delegation when it marches into the stadium in Paris in less than 1 week's time. This according to, this by way of, I should say, not according to, but this by way of a vote by the athletes in the U.S. delegation as to who they would like to be their standard bearer. Many people are just throwing their hands in the air, rolling their eyes, saying, you got to be fucking kidding me. That LeBron James, for whatever he is in your mind, is the furthest thing from the notion of a true Olympian that you could get. That a true Olympian is somebody who toils away in a probably obscure or at least not very enriching sport for their one chance at glory every 4 years. And you better not slip, you better not fall, you better not make one screw up. Otherwise, all those hours, all those years of training are gone. LeBron James is not that. But if that's what the athletes wanted, then that's what they're going to get. Never mind the fact that LeBron James has said some pretty strident things about this country and may have made up stories of racial targeting on his fence out in L.A. that were completely unproven, that he is oftentimes a habitual fabulist, let's call it. And I believe he kneeled for the anthem, although I ain't refighting the kneeling for the anthem wars because they wore me out the first time. I was against it, but I said, what are you going to do? That's what people think is some bold protest. Then what are you going to do? Look, you can't, if the athletes say we want them. I think it comes down to this. The athletes are human, and the athletes are prone to human things. And we, as humans, and especially as Americans, we love celebrity. We love fame. So it doesn't shock me that a bunch of rowers and pentathletes and javelin throwers and badminton players, when given a ballot, like, who do you want to lead us in? They're going to vote for A, the one guy they know, and B, somebody famous. So, LeBron, there you go, buddy. Grab that flag, march on in proudly in your Ralph Lauren polo outfit, and try not to lose to South Sudan. That'd be nice. In other sports news, the quarterback that everyone is waiting on in the NFL to sign a extension, which could reset the market even further upwards, Jordan Love of the Green Bay Packers, reported to Packers training camp for the first day of practice, but did not take the field. According to GM Brian Gutekunst, he is waiting until the deal gets finalized to finally practice. That, you know, they're close, but they're not done yet. I think it's going to get done, but there is a fascinating sort of leverage play here that I'm wondering about. On the one hand, could he slip and hurt something at practice that affects his, you know, contract? I wouldn't, like, if they're really close and they're just working on voidable years and bonuses, do you think if he goes out and sprains his knee or ankle or even breaks a leg on day one of practice in non-contact drills wearing the red jersey, that they're going to go, oh, hold on a second, rip that one up. Okay, we're going to give you 30% less because you're hurt now. Bullshit. They would never do that. So there really is no reason. There's no injury reason. The injury reason to stay off the field, that's bullshit. It's just leverage. It's just Jordan Love's camp saying, well, you sure would like me out there, wouldn't you, day one of camp? To start throwing to the receivers, getting on the same page, working on our red zone install, but yeah, can't have that yet. It's a girlfriend who is holding a little bit back from her new boyfriend until she feels a bit more of a commitment. It's leverage, which gets me to thinking this. What happens if Jordan Love just went on the full-blown, I want to take the quarterback market to the moon angle? And what if he told the Packers, you know what, I don't need a new contract, I'm under contract this year, let's visit this after the season? Now you might say, well, there's a lot of risk on his part because, man, he may turn into a pumpkin, he may not be nearly as good as the scintillating final 12 games of his season last year, the 12 games including the two in the playoffs. He was 24 over 3 touchdowns to INTs over that stretch of games, and the last two INTs came in the rain in San Francisco, including when they were trying to play catch-up at the end. Those numbers are almost impossible to replicate unless your name is Aaron Rodgers and you're in your prime. So it's almost certain that he's statistically, I think, going to play a little bit worse or maybe just the same or whatever. So for him to bet on himself if he just wanted all the monies would entail a bit of risk, and if he gets injured. But I don't think it's as much risk as people think, because remember this, the leverage Jordan Love has is not just how good of a quarterback is he now, how good is he going to be in the future, how young is he, and blah, blah, blah. The leverage he has is if he were to leave the Packers, which would require him to fight through 2 full years of jungle of the franchise tag, like Kirk Cousins. But the notion of him leaving the Packers, the leverage is he would leave the Packers once again searching for the next guy. And they've already hit the lottery 3 times in a row, or so it seems. What are the odds of a fourth? The price the Green Bay Packers or any NFL team would pay to not have to go, as I like to say, out into the wilderness and take the long walk in the quarterback woods to search for a guy that can just hold the position down, not even be that good per se, just be the guy you go, he's our QB1, we know he's kind of flawed. I mean, Dak Prescott, he puts up great regular season numbers, but holy shit, does he choke in the playoffs. Lamar Jackson, you know, he's really good, he's really fast, but you know, he did get hurt, and we're worried about him getting hurt again. He also chokes in the playoffs. I mean, but still, we're going to pay him top dollar because we don't want to be in the business of not having Dak Prescott or Lamar Jackson. And that's what happened with Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is several clicks below even those guys. Multiple clicks behind Lamar Jackson, who is a league MVP. And they're like, just pay him all the money. Because we don't even want to go out in the woods. The woods are dark and they're scary. And it seems like there's no good quarterbacks out there. Teams try and try and try, and they can't find them. That's the leverage that Jordan Love has. And every quarterback who looks like they can hold down the position as QB1, if they're willing to exercise it. But right now, that leverage for Love comes at the end of a very long poll, a 2-year poll, and the willingness to both absorb the risk that maybe he's not that good or maybe he'll get hurt, and the public pressure and the media shaming of, what's this guy's deal? Who does he think he is? Which you know will come. I bet the deal gets done on Tuesday. We'll see. Hell, it might have been done while I was searching for sound bites here on the podcast. NFL USA Today has dropped their predictions for the upcoming NFL season. Now, before I give you what these predictions are, I'm reminded of the great NFL Network August promotional campaign of Get Your Story Straight. Just football fans out grilling in the summer, talking about the upcoming season, wearing their jerseys, saying the most outlandish things that, of course, turn out to be not true. Like the guy who's like, Dad, who'd the Steelers take? I don't know, Rathel something. Cowa. Nice pick, Cowa. I mean, it's just one after another. I love how wrong we all are about the NFL. But hey, you might as well make a prediction. Maybe it'll come true. Here's what USA Today has predicted for the upcoming season. Aaron Rodgers and the Jets not just going to the Super Bowl, but winning the Super Bowl against Jordan Love and the Packers. Well, wouldn't that be something, huh, kids? Can't wait for football to begin, like all of us. So you ever rented a car and wondered, what would they do if I didn't follow their return policy on the car to the letter? PGA Tour pro Wesley Bryan has decided to test it out. Get a load of this. Wesley Bryan had a flight from the Barracuda Championship in California to the 3M in Minnesota, but the flight was canceled because of the recent snafus with the blue screen of death and CrowdStrike. He had two choices: wait for a Wednesday night flight, which would get him in just in time, or channel his mini tour self and rent a car and drive across the country. But of course, the rental companies are like, well, this has to be a local rental only. We're not allowing one-way rentals out of state. Here's what Wesley Bryan did. He lied to Avis. He said, quote, when asked about, so how are you going to get the car back to Salt Lake City? He said, I plan to leave it at the Minneapolis airport and pick up my courtesy car from the PGA Tour. We'll see what type of fees they hit me with. They say that Avis is the preferred rental car of the PGA Tour. We will see what that means. Yes. Oh my God, is this great. Now, Avis has to set a precedent here. They have to say, look, we know you're on the PGA Tour. We know you that we've got a relationship with them, but we were very explicit. These are local rentals only. Everyone wants to do what you're doing. No, you're going to get hit with substantial fines. But then again, they are, you know, do they really want it going public? Do they want Wesley Brown to come out and go, can you believe this? They're charging me 10 grand because I didn't bring the car back to Salt Lake City. I guess so. The Barracuda Championship was in Tahoe because my cousin was doing the catering for him. What's up, Tommy? My man, Tommy. But I guess he was able to get a car that he could take as far as Salt Lake, but not Minnesota. So he just lied to Avis and kept going. And he's like telling the media now, well, I'm going to leave it in Minnesota and we'll just see what happens. There is that admiration. I think we all know somebody in life, all of us, who is a, well, we'll see what happens kind of guy, where they just literally trample the rules of something and you think, oh, shit. You are going to get in so much trouble. And then they seemingly skate more often than not. You're like, wow, nothing really happened there. Dateline, New Jersey. Since when is this a crime? New Jersey man arrested after ripping seagull's head off when it tried to swipe a French fry from his daughter. Franklin Ziegler, 29, of Cape May, was at Surfside Pier in Morey's Piers and beachfront water parks in the Wildwood Boardwalk on July 6th when a mooching seagull tried to make off with the fries. I've been to the Jersey Shore once when my sister-in-law was just starting to date her would-be future husband, Todd. Many, many, many years ago, 25 years ago plus. And yes, the seagulls at the Jersey Shore, they're like Jersey seagulls. They're like, yo, about I have some of your sandwich there in your hand, sitting on a beach chair. If you're not paying attention, seagulls swoop in and boom, gone. In a fit of rage, Ziegler attacked the unfortunate bird and ripped its head clean off of its body. North Wildwood cops showed up and Ziegler quickly got irate and uncooperative with officers on the unrelated investigation. Authorities arrested him and charged him with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. He was also hit with a third-degree animal cruelty charge on the counts as well. Fucking seagull. These things are one step above pigeons on the scale of irrelevant and dirty birds. Now, I'm not saying you should go ripping their heads off or biting their heads off. I believe Ozzy Osbourne once got in trouble for biting the head off a bat on stage at a concert. Was it a bat or a bird, something like that? But you shouldn't be doing it for sport. But if there's a reasonable provocation, plus if the seagull lets you catch him, tough shit for you, seagull. There's got to be some rules here. You feel bold enough to start snatching French fries? You better get away with it because you're in Jersey now. All right, that ends the fun portion of today's Zabecast. On the back end, the political side, or really more like the civics side of it, because it shouldn't be political. This is a bipartisan thing. I said to you over a week ago, right after the assassination attempt of former President Trump, that the most infuriating thing that would come of this is no accountability. And boy, oh boy, have I ever been more right than that in my life. Kim Cheadle, the head of the Secret Service, testified on Capitol Hill Monday. Only because she was subpoenaed. Said, oh, I wanted to come here, but then my boss, you know, boss Mayorkas, said, no, you can't, because it's an ongoing investigation, which is just code for covering shit up. She went to Capitol Hill and her performance was so bad, so infuriating, that both Democrats and Republicans ripped her to shreds. I have a bunch of sound. If this does not matter to you, and by the way, it should, then you're now done with today's Zabecast. But if not, I've spent the better part of an hour clipping and searching and clipping and searching. And wait till you hear the stonewalling incompetence that is the face of your government that you pay good tax money to fund that's supposed to do basic, simple jobs like keep our elected politicians and those running for office from getting their heads blown off. You're listening to the Zabecast. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you're putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. Hiring? With Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys. How's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. So if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Okay, let's get into this. I have 9 different bites. Not quite from 9 different congresspeople, but 9 different bites, including a couple of Democrats, including AOC. You know, it's a strange day in the world in which I hear something that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says, and I'm like, yes, damn right. Of the many, many squares of life in which I could land on, in which I agree with her, this is one of those days. Shocked me too, I know. But the director, Ms. Cheadle, who, yes, was a Secret Service agent 27 years ago, left the Secret Service, went to work as the head of security for Pepsi, back to the Secret Service, is just the most incompetent, infuriating government bureaucrat drone you've ever seen. Soulless, empty, pathetic. But remember, she's a puppet. She's the one who will be, at the end of the day, just not now, thrown under the bus. The reason she's still there now is because they're trying to get their story straight and they're trying to figure out all the things they can cover up, gloss over, bury, erase, and otherwise claim to lose. Oh, we had the records of that, but we've lost it now. Delay is the friend of those in government trying to cover their asses. So, that said, let's hear some of these. And I was going to note each person speaking, the congressman or the congresswoman, and the Democrat versus Republican, and what state they're from. But then I'm like, you know what? It doesn't fucking matter. Because what inevitably happens is some midwits will email me saying, I can't believe you played the quote from that bitch, that dumb you know what, or that idiot, that guy is a complete clown. Listen, I'm not saying that there aren't clowns in Congress. Oh, for sure they are. There are. But the point isn't what they asked or how they asked. The point is, listen to the answers that we are getting from somebody who had to be subpoenaed to be on Capitol Hill. Here is the first one.
You stated earlier Secret Service is not political. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Would you say leaking your opening statement to Punchbowl News, Politico's playbook, and Washington Post several hours before you sent it to this committee as being political, yes or no?
I have no idea how my statement got out.
Well, that's bullshit.
And it went downhill from there.
Why was Crooks able to fly a drone over the entire area the day of the rally and the day of his assassination attempt?
To my knowledge, he did not fly the drone over the entire area.
How did he fly a drone over the area, period? Any part of the area?
Again, I would have to go back and check the timeline of when that took place and when the event...
Why didn't you bring the timeline with you today to answer our questions?
I don't have all of the answers on the timelines based on the criminal investigation.
Were you not prepared today to answer our questions?
I am prepared to answer the questions based on the information and wanted to be able to provide.
Do you have a timeline from any of the day?
I have a timeline that does not have specifics.
That's shocking. That is absolutely unacceptable. That means you are a failure at your job.
A timeline without specifics. The dog ate my homework.
No, you knew, that everyone knew. The people there knew, people in the crowd do. People under your command don't and considered him to be a threat. That means that you are a complete failure as the director of the Secret Service that people under your command don't perceive a man laying on a roof with direct line to the president with a gun. They don't perceive that to be a threat, yet the people in the crowd do. How is that possible?
That's the last question, but please answer the question, Ms. Director.
I'm not certain at this time how the information from the people in the crowd was relayed to any law enforcement personnel.
No, you knew, that everyone knew. The people there knew that there was a danger. They knew there was a threat to President Trump, and it was allowed to happen. Was there a stand-down order, Ms. Cheadle?
No.
Was there a conspiracy to kill President Trump?
Absolutely not.
Then how did this happen? And why are you still sitting here not turning in your letter of resignation?
Last question, but please answer, and then I'll recognize Ms. Presley. Please answer the question. Director.
That is what we are investigating to determine.
We're waiting for your letter. We are waiting for your letter of resignation. And you really need to consider doing that before you leave today.
The only thing she answered affirmatively with any kind of confidence was the question of, was there a conspiracy to kill the former president? The only thing she knew yesterday. Unbelievable. Here's another.
I don't know who prepared you for this. I don't know how many times you've testified in front of Congress. But a president was almost assassinated live on television, not just for Americans, but for the world to see. And this being your first opportunity, I understand there's an ongoing investigation. I understand there's things that you can not talk about. But the idea that we're getting less than you did on television is something that Democrats, independents, or Republicans are going to find unacceptable. My high school, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, was on the list of mass shootings that Representative Raskin held up. That very day, the school resource officer, a police officer, did not run into the building. He hid in the stairwell while the shooter was in the building. He stayed outside. Never helped, okay? He also directed other officers who showed up on the scene not to go into the building. When it was determined that the failures in response and training, and that the sheriff fired nobody in his agency, Governor DeSantis then removed that sheriff. I supported the removal. So here's my question. You said there's going to be accountability. I understand you don't want to give us names. When you say that, are you telling the committee that once it's concluded, you're prepared to fire the people on the ground who made poor decisions that day?
I'm prepared to take the actions necessary.
No, that's nonsense. Okay. Accountability. The failure was human. That doesn't mean they're bad people. It means they failed that day, and a former president was almost assassinated. Okay. Are you prepared to fire the human failure on the ground? Yes or no? When you have the names of where those failures were, they're people. It's not like a piece of technology failed. It was people who failed that day. Are you prepared to fire them?
I don't have an answer as to whether it
was. Well, then how can there be accountability if you're not prepared to fire someone? And the reason why your name is going to be the person who's held accountable, the reason why members in this committee are calling for resignation, and I join in that, or for the president to fire you, is because you're saying there's going to be accountability, but you can't commit that people are going to get fired. Let me ask this question a different way. If Trump had been assassinated that day, if the gunman had succeeded, okay, would you have come and tendered your resignation?
I would still be sitting here because I would want to ensure the integrity of the investigation.
Totally understand. That's a fair answer, that you would have set up that process. But would you have had the honor to come in front of the committee and say, former president was assassinated on my watch, there should be new leadership?
I think that I have admitted that there was.
No, that's what I'm asking. Would you have tendered your resignation if he had been killed?
That occurred.
You furious yet? There's more. Sorry to say.
Referring to the FBI. When asked how many shell casings were on the roof, you referred to the FBI. When asked if there were explosives in the car, you referred to the FBI. When asked if Crooks was acting alone, you referred to the FBI. See a common theme here? I can go on and on. My question is, who at the FBI should I speak with? Wait for it.
The FBI is responsible for the criminal.
Is there a name?
I'm not certain.
All right, here we go. I'm not certain. I don't know. Let me ask a different question. Have you been in communication with the FBI?
Yes, I have.
With whom?
I speak with the director and the deputy director.
Okay. And what have they shared with you about this investigation? So I'll give you an opportunity to answer again. Did they share with you how many shell casings were on the roof?
They have shared with me the...
Did they share with you how many shell casings were on the roof?
Yes.
Okay. How many were there?
I would refer to the FBI for
how many were there
and their information that they need to share in their investigation.
All right. Was it a lone gunman?
Your agency has a no-fail mission, and on Saturday, July 13th, your agency spectacularly failed. The failure resulted in the death of Corey Comprator and serious injury to two other rally attendees, David Dutch and James Copenhaver, besides the injuries to President Trump. It is unfathomable that a 20-year-old on the radar of Secret Service and local law enforcement before President Trump went on stage was able to climb onto the roof of a building with a rifle and fire off multiple rounds before he was neutralized. Was Mr. Crooks acting alone?
Again, I would have to refer you to the FBI's investigation.
Was he just a lone gunman?
I would have to refer you to the FBI's investigation for motive.
Then there was this.
Director Cheadle, in your leadership, your agency got outsmarted and outmaneuvered by a 20-year-old. How can we have any confidence that you could stop a trained professionals from a nefarious nation state?
Those are absolutely questions that we need to have.
I know they're questions, but the fact of the matter is we can't have that confidence. Director, do you have the ability personally, and do you have the authority to beef up security of any of your protectees?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So were you also aware there was a credible threat President Trump was facing? He was facing a heightened security threat to a foreign adversary?
Yes.
Okay. So given that there was an increased threat to President Trump's life, was he provided a full security complement akin to what a sitting U.S. president would receive?
He was provided a full complement of security based on the threat assessment that we had.
That's not my question.
And the venue.
My question is, if he'd been the sitting president, would he have had the same security he had on July 13th or would have been beefed up?
There is a difference between the sitting president.
So your answer is he didn't.
And continuity of government and the responsibility
that
we
have. So he did not. Okay, there wasn't a CAT team, a full CAT team on site. There wasn't counter-surveillance teams on site. Dad, do you remember in an ABC interview you did that you didn't have people on the roof of the AGR building because you were worried about safety because of the slope?
I recall that statement.
Okay. Does the Secret Service have written policy you can share with us about slope roofs?
No.
Okay.
By the way, now there's whistleblowers coming out saying, contacting Congress saying, oh yeah, the reason they didn't put us on the roof, they said it was too hot.
So why'd you act like there was one? Because is it your practice to comment on enormous events of enormous national implications when you're ignorant of the facts? That's rhetorical. So here's this thing with the slopes. You go all up to like 1812, you can go to a 112, which is about as flat as you can get without it being completely flat. And you're saying that there was a danger, safety concern there. But the problem is, Director, you put your counter snipers on a 312 roof, which is steeper than the 112. And by the way, the 112 is ADA compliant.
That's amazing.
You can build a ramp for a wheelchair on a 112 roof. So these are nothing but pathetic excuses, and they make no sense, and they're a bunch of cow dung. All the law enforcement I've spoken with over the last 9 days are amazed that the AGR rooftop was not secure. And you want to know why? Because it's dangerous. I have never had any long gun training in my life. I own an AR-15, and last time I shot it one time my whole life. It was 6 years ago. That is until Saturday, where we recreated the events in Savoy, Texas. We recreated what happened to Butler. I was lying prone on a slope roof at 130 yards at 6:30 at night. And I knew that he had a scope, I didn't know what kind, red dot or magnified. So I shot 8 rounds from both. You know what the result was? 15 out of 16 kill shots. And the one I missed would have hit the president's ear. That's a 94% success rate. And that shooter was a better shot than me. It is a miracle President Trump wasn't killed. Corey Comprador's life is over because that damn shooter made it on the roof. And it wasn't the roof that was dangerous. It was the nut job on top of the roof. You know what else is dangerous? I believe your horrifying ineptitude and your lack of skilled leadership is a disgrace. Your obfuscating today is shameful. And you should be fired immediately and go back to Garden Doritos. Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
Oh, mic drop right there. But outrageous indeed. ADA compliant. And they recreated the shot, and he was 15 of 16. But don't worry, they'll have a complete report in 60 days. Here is AOC saying that is unacceptable.
...that are happening in about 100 days. So the notion of a report coming out in 60 days when the threat environment is so high in the United States, irrespective of party, is not acceptable. And I think it's very important to understand that. This is not theater. This is not about jockeying. This is about the safety of some of the most highly targeted and valued targets internationally and domestically in the United States of America. So the idea that a report will be finalized in 60 days, let alone prior to any actionable decisions that would be made, is simply not acceptable.
Yeah. Give us 60 days. Then we'll have the book report. Maybe. See, even AOC realizes, and I bet she has had all kinds of threats against her, that they're like, this is bad for every one of us involved in government if the head of the Secret Service is going to be this incompetent, and if the agency themselves is either going to be this incompetent or something darker. Be great if Cheadle resigned, but that doesn't fix things. It would be great if she was fired, but that doesn't fix things. It'd be great if she was sent to jail for perjury, but we know that ain't going to happen.
In my opinion, according to some of the testimony today, I feel that you have perjured yourself in some instances, and so I'm going to ask for a full review of the transcripts by staff, and if you find that to be the case, I do ask that you bring perjury charges against the director. I will say this, it is very frustrating, and I've talked to my colleagues, and we've said it to your face, that you have been up here basically stonewalling our ability to get the answers to the American people. And what I will also say is that every single member of Congress does not feel safe with you in charge. You have heard that, and I think that we are all sitting ducks with you in directing the Secret Service currently. But more importantly, it sends a message to our adversaries that we are not protected, and we are one of the strongest countries in the world, so you have essentially made us a less safe country because of it. As a result of that, I'm asking you to formally step down. I share my same opinions as my Democrat colleagues. And I also think that your efforts to bring forward a full investigation and report in 60 days is unacceptable. And as a result of that, I'm going to do everything in my legislative toolkit to ensure that that happens sooner rather than later. And I'm sure that you know that we brought a vote on inherent contempt against Garland for essentially blocking a congressional investigation. And I don't think that you should be any different. So I will say that I am just completely disgusted by your performance today. And I understand that you are probably in a position where you're being told not to testify, which is why we had to subpoena you. I think that goes back to Garland. But again, that is part of the flushing that we need to get out of Washington, and I would be happy to assist in that process.
Yeah, ding, ding, ding on that. Merrick Garland was the one that blocked this initially, but now they're like, well, fuck you, we'll subpoena her, and we'll make her come up here and testify. No doubt that Cheadle's a puppet, and she's being told, you better shut your mouth. I think she's not an idiot, but I think she knows her career is over and she will slink off into the shadows disgraced no matter what happens with the election. But I don't think she's an idiot. I think she's been told by people whom she fears greatly, if you don't do this and if you don't go up there and say as little as possible, no matter how absurd it may sound, and take as much abuse as they want to heap upon you. If you don't do that, your already shitty life is going to get so much worse. And you know the ways we can make it worse. And I believe she's terrified. I don't believe she's that dumb. Nobody can be that dumb. But hey, 60 days, I'm sure we'll have all the answers we need. Maybe. But we won't have the recording of the comms between the agents on site, which is a pretty damning thing to find out yesterday.
Does the Secret Service routinely record communications between and amongst detail?
Radio communications?
Any communication.
Email communications are captured, as well as text messages. And then, depending on the detail, radio communications are recorded.
Does the Secret Service have recorded communications from the July 13th event?
We do not have radio communications from that day.
Mm, wow. Well, ain't that convenient, huh? What happened to him? Didn't press record that day? Didn't think it'd be worth doing? The black box in aviation is the most critical thing to recover to find out what the fuck happened, why an airplane fell out of the sky and killed a bunch of people. The radio comms from the Secret Service, which I cannot believe are not routinely recorded after every major security event. And if everything goes smoothly and nothing happens, you can delete them if you really need the space on your SIM card. But we all know, we have all the storage space we need. You could keep all those recordings for as long as you liked, archived somewhere in some government server, if you wanted to. And boy, wouldn't you want to know what the sniper on the roof said in his comms to the director of the operation on the ground, or vice versa, or to this guy, to that gal, over here, timeline. Wouldn't you love to hear that? I know I sure would, as an American citizen, but guess what? We're not going to hear that because, whoops, it's gone. Just like a bunch of text messages of Ms. Cheadle and others in the Secret Service on January 6th. Oh, we deleted those. Sorry, whoops. There you go. And I wish I had happier news about how this could all be fixed, but I don't know how it can. The only way, the only prayer would be an absolutely rabid mainstream press at all levels, television, newspaper, on down the line, that didn't care about how this was going to cut politically and just went after the truth fanatically and would not stop. That's the only thing that would bring any kind of accountability to all of this. But, you know, they don't seem to have that same appetite. This is almost like, I once thought, what would it be like if the JFK assassination or something similar happened in the modern media world, where there's so many more people and freelance journalists and just people at home that can analyze things? Like, wouldn't it be so much different? Wouldn't it be impossible to sort of cover up and then classify and not release for 50 years stuff from the JFK assassination? Wouldn't it be impossible in today's day and age? I guess what I'm finding out is no. With a compliant enough press, with a uninterested enough corporate media, I'm guessing anything's possible, but who knows? That was Monday. We'll see what Tuesday brings and Wednesday and Thursday, but I can assure you my expectations are low. Cubs 3, Brewers 1 rivalry series as the Cubs claw one back from the division-leading Brewers. Cubs threw 6 different pitchers at this affair in the 3-1 win that held the Brewers to 5 hits and just 1 run crossed. All right, thanks for listening. Appreciate the feedback via zabe@yahoo.com. Keep sending it, good, bad, and everything in between. I love the feedback. Always rate and review. It tickles the algorithmic overlords. And if you would like to listen to this podcast sans commercials in the future, just sign up for premium by going to zabe.com/premium. And I'll even give you an extra month for free when you sign up for a year. Or go month to month, cancel anytime. No big deal to me. Thanks for listening. Have a great Tuesday, and we will see you next time. Never had.